From the Blue Ridge Mountains to the Chesapeake Bay, Virginia is a mecca for outdoor travel and adventure. Virginia Outdoor Adventures podcast is the ultimate guide for local outdoor recreation, including hiking, camping, kayaking, and so much more. Get the information and the inspiration to plan your own adventure right here in Virginia. I'm your host, Jessica Bowser. Every hiker knows the thrill and sense of accomplishment that comes with reaching a mountain's peak. Epic views and stunning scenery are often what motivates hikers to lace up their boots and head for the top. Get ready to bag Virginia's peaks with Erin Gifford of Go Hike Virginia as she shares the highlights of her latest book, Virginia Summits, 40 Best Mountain Hikes from the Shenandoah Valley to Southwest Virginia. Erin's insights are invaluable as she describes summit hikes throughout the Commonwealth, such as the 360-degree views from Bear Fence in Shenandoah National Park, the challenging terrain of Humpback Rocks on the Blue Ridge Parkway, or the distinctive High Knob Fire Tower in the George Washington National Forest. Whether you're a seasoned hiker looking to take on a challenge or an outdoor enthusiast scouting for a new adventure, this episode is your guide to conquering Virginia's summits. Let's go. Virginia Outdoor Adventures is sponsored by Breaks Interstate Park. Breaks Park is a hiking destination in the heart of Appalachia. Every trail features something that will awe you, including geologic formations, scenic views of the canyon, stream crossings, and wildlife viewing. Trails range from easy to difficult. The convenience of lodges, campgrounds, and luxury cabins inside the park means you'll never need to wander far from the trail. Come see for yourself why Breaks is known as the Grand Canyon of the South. Download the digital trail guide at breakspark.com or click on Breaks Interstate Park in the show notes of your listening app. Erin, welcome back to Virginia Outdoor Adventures.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to chat with you again about hiking.
What do you love about Virginia's summits?
Oh my gosh, everything. I mean, one of my favorite things really about summits in general, Virginia summits, is just, I just love going up there, being able to stare out, getting lost in the views. And Virginia has so many beautiful views, Appalachian Mountains, Shenandoah Mountains, Blue Ridge Mountains. We've got them all. And just being able to look out at the mountains, out at the farmlands. I mean, it's just amazing.
Before you wrote Virginia Summits, you've created several other hiking resources. Do you want to describe those?
Sure. I mean, it's crazy. It all really started back during the pandemic in about April 2020. I really first started with my website called GoHikeVirginia.com. And then everything just kind of exploded from there. I launched that in April 2020. And by June 2020, I had pitched the publishers of Falcon Guides on the Hiking in Virginia with Kids book. And that came out about a year and a half later. And then just everything kind of snowballed. So I had the kids, Hiking with Kids in Virginia, 52 Great Hikes for Kids and Families. And then from there, the publishers were kind of like, can you write anything else for us? What other ideas do you have? And so then I pitched them about coastal trails, kind of easy, relaxing hikes along water features in Delaware, Maryland, and Virginia. So that was my second book. And that came out last year. And now this is my third book about summit hikes. And this one has 40 different hikes of varying levels. There's kind of easier hikes, there's harder hikes, and they're all in Shenandoah Valley, Southwest Virginia, and the Virginia Mountains area. They're really beautiful.
Erin, I'm a big fan of all of your books and your website, Go Hike Virginia. And for anybody who is new to this podcast, I think we should probably mention that this is not your first time on the show. You came on in season 3, episode 29, to talk about your book, Hiking with Kids Virginia. So anybody who wants to hear more about that book, I loved it because I thought it wasn't just great for kids, but it's sort of beginner-friendly hiking. So that's why it makes it so good for kids, but it's also really great for beginners. So I'll put a link to your past episode, episode 29, in the show notes for anybody who wants to hear that.
Super. Thank you.
So your new book, Virginia Summits, 40 Best Mountain Hikes from the Shenandoah Valley to Southwest Virginia, is available now. What inspired you to write another hiking guide, and how did you choose the topic for this book?
Well, I think for this one, I just feel like people, they just love hikes with big views. You know, it's such a reward to be able to get to the top of a mountain and just to be able to look out at 270 or 360 degree views. It's so amazing. And kind of another reason I wanted to write it is, you know, there really are hikes to summits for kind of everyone. You know, it doesn't have to be this slog up 3,000 elevation increase. It can be kind of much easier hikes. I wanted people to know there's summit hikes out there for everyone. But I also wanted to say, you know, not all summit hikes are equal, and give people a taste of what each different hike is like so that they can figure out the right ones for them, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense, because you're right. There are summit hikes that are easy, and then there are summit hikes that are super strenuous. And what I think is really interesting about your book is you've got all of the summits that someone would expect to be in a book about Virginia summit hikes. So things like Old Rag and Mount Rogers and what else? Mary's Rock, and just all kinds of places that are probably well known. But then right. you also have sprinkled in between that all of these lesser known hikes. In fact, I was really impressed with how many hikes in that book I've never heard of. And I've been hiking in Virginia for 19 years. So I'm really excited to try out some of these new ones. And we're going to go over some of the specific hikes that you've included in your book. But before we do, I think we probably need to go over what people need to know before starting a hike.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you can't just go out to a mountain and decide I'm going to hike it today. I mean, there's a lot of factors you want to keep in mind. Of course, something that I like to look at first is kind of how long is the hike, and not just how long is the hike, but what's the elevation gain? Because I think you'll agree that a 5 mile hike with a 200 foot elevation gain is a lot different than a 5 mile hike with a 2000 foot elevation gain, you know, and really, you know, getting serious, like, do I have it in me? You know, am I going to be able to do this 2000 foot elevation gain? So I think first and foremost, it's important to look at, you know, distance and difficulty, and thinking about time, because if it's a longer hike, it's going to take a longer amount of time. So I like to start early. I like to tell people to start early, not just for cooler temperatures, especially now, but, you know, let's say something goes wrong and you kind of get off on a divergent path. You're not on the path to the summit anymore. It takes you a little longer than you expected. Well, then you've got a little more wiggle room in terms of sunset. You know, you definitely don't want to be caught out there after dark and you're really not sure, you know, the way back to your car. So I think those are really the biggest things for me is, you know, really keeping in mind, how long is it going to take me? How long is it going to be? And how challenging is it going to be?
When you were writing your book, and you've done every single hike that's in this book, what was your experience with cell service when you were out there? Is it generally pretty good across the state, or is it patchy?
That's a great question. I mean, when I did the Coastal Trails book, I noticed that cell service was everywhere, you know, because I was kind of out on the water. It was an open space. But a lot of these mountain hikes, I would say the vast majority from their parking lots, they had no cell service at all. A lot of times I didn't even get a signal until I was at the summit. You know, when I was out in the open, I didn't have other mountains blocking the cell service. So I think that's really important to keep in mind for a couple of reasons. One is I like to use AllTrails to be able to download maps. And if you don't have any cell service in the parking lot, you're not going to be able to download a map unless you've already downloaded it. Like, I have AllTrails Pro, so I can download my maps ahead of time. So that's important. I mean, the other thing is it can be frustrating to get back to your car after a hike and you don't have cell service and you're not exactly sure how to get home from there because you can't turn the map on. So I think that's really important to keep in mind. So a lot of times I like to print out a map, mostly not necessarily the map of the trail, but a lot of times I'll print out a map of directions to get back to my house. Just in case, you know, I do get to the parking lot and realize I don't have cell service and I'm not exactly sure which way to go.
Yeah. Like, if you don't have a GPS service in your car, then you might want to refer back to like old school days of MapQuest and printing out directions.
I know. I mean, I use Apple Maps on my phone, but if I don't have any service, it's not going to do me any good. So
yeah, no, that's that's definitely a great point. And the other thing I wanted to ask you is, a lot of these hikes, they're on public lands that are managed by different agencies. So what did you run into as far as fees or permits that were needed?
And definitely a lot of them were in Shenandoah National Park. So, of course, if you're in the park, it's going to be a $30 fee, whether you come in on Skyline Drive or whether you're entering from a boundary. I mean, technically, you should be paying the $30 fee. A lot of people have the annual pass. I'm sure you have it. I have it. to be able to get in and hike kind of anytime I want. I'm trying to think, there's definitely, you would know this better than me, some of the wildlife areas I know have a, is it a three, is it there a $3 or $4 fee to be able to be there and hike?
I don't remember because I have the annual Restore the Wild membership, which is just the better option. Like just, or if you have a fishing license that covers you too. So that will get you onto wildlife management areas. Yeah.
Yes. But I, you know, I would say a lot of the hikes in here are on the Appalachian Trail and are in national forest. And I would say probably the vast majority, there was not any kind of fee to park and hike any of these.
Yes. And there are some state parks in here too. And those do require fees unless you have an annual pass.
Like Molly's Knob at Hungry Mother State Park, that has a fee, maybe $7 or $8. You're right. There's probably a handful of hikes in here that are in state parks with fees.
Mm-hmm.
Good reminder.
Yeah. So Erin, how should someone prepare for a summit hike? I mean, I know there's always definitely things you need to have with you. You mentioned getting an early start, but like, what do you have in your pack to make sure that you stay safe and that you have the essentials with you?
I mean, of course, you know, wear good footwear. I mean, you and I both have seen many people wearing inappropriate footwear, you know, sandals or I don't know, Keds type shoes. I mean, make sure that you're wearing good footwear because a lot of these hikes will be steep, of course, but then a lot of them also have kind of those small rocks that are no fun to slip on going up or going down.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, especially if you've got some good ankle support, it's a little bit more helpful if anything does happen. So good footwear is always a start. You know, bring, you know, as much water, I hate to say as much water as you can, but bring as much water as you think that you will need. I think that's really important, bringing snacks. I mean, especially, again, if you think that, not that if you think you'll get lost, but, you know, you never know what can happen out there sometimes. So it's always good to bring more water than you need. It's good to bring more snacks than you need. I think those are the big things. You know, I always keep a headlamp in my backpack just in case as well. I think more so in winter and kind of the shorter daylight months, just because, you know, the sun will go down at 5 o'clock. And I don't typically find myself on hiking trails at 5, but you know, it's all about just being prepared just in case.
Yeah, absolutely. And letting people know where you are too is always something that I do. I'm sure you do too.
Definitely. I will say something I also do is I have, this is more just for my family, but we use Life 360, which is the app on your phone where you can see where people are. So we have kind of a family circle. And I like that as well because, you know, people can see where I am on the trail just in case, or just in case I forget to say, oh, I'm going to this trail. Or if I decide kind of mid journey that I'm going to go on a different hike, you know, they'll know exactly where I am.
What in your experience did you find that you need to know about parking ahead of time?
In Shenandoah, for example, get there early. I mean, a lot of those lots, as you know, they only fit maybe 8 to 12 cars. And if you're going on a Saturday or a Sunday, you can't really expect to get there at 11 a.m. and get a parking space. So I think for me, I always get there early. I typically get to a hiking trailhead by 8 a.m., regardless of where it is and how far it is from my house. So I think just getting there early, if you can go on a weekday, you're always more likely to get parking spaces. But I think in my book, though, I definitely note whether the parking lot is very small or if you're not going to have any problems. So like, for example, I'm looking at it now, like Buffalo Mountain, which is near Floyd in Virginia, there's only about 10 spaces. And it's one of those places where if you can't get a parking space, you need to go find another hike that day, you know, because there's nowhere else to park. Like there's no, you can't park on the side of the road coming into the natural area because it's too narrow. So I think that's good to know ahead of time. But then there's other places like Mary's Rock at Shenandoah National Park. There's two different routes to the top. One of them is Meadow Spring, and that's only got about 10 spots. But then the other one is Panorama, which has about 100 spots, you know? So I think that's good to know. That's always kind of a backup hike I suggest to people, like in case you get shut out of something else, we'll go to Panorama parking lot because it's so large that I've never seen them full. So I think you'll have a good shot. And Mary's Rock is an awesome hike.
It truly is. I was just up there the other day.
Yes.
So I love that hike. It's beautiful.
I know. It's gorgeous.
But yeah, parking's so important because I can't think of a better way to spoil your day than to like make all your plans around doing this one hike and then get yes. there and realize you don't get to do it because you can't park your car anywhere.
Right. Exactly. To be honest, I mean, that's really one of the reasons why I pitched my first book, Hiking with Kids Virginia, is because you don't want to be that parent who's, you know, gotten the kids in the car, you've gotten the waters, you've got the snacks, you've, you know, psyched them up to go on this hike. And then you get there and there's no parking. You know, that is a drag.
That sounds like a nightmare with a bunch
yes.
of kids in the car.
Yes, you do not want to do that from experience.
Yeah, no kidding. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's dive into this book, Virginia Summits. Do you want to talk about some of the categories that you've organized these hikes into?
Yeah, definitely. Well, it's basically organized into three different sections. There's about 20 hikes for the Shenandoah Valley, which includes Shenandoah National Park. There's another 10 hikes for Virginia Mountains, which is kind of south middle section of the state, kind of Roanoke area and around that area. And then the last part is Southwest Virginia, which is kind of all the way down toward Abingdon, Witville, Galax, like further down that area. So that's it was easy to divide it up that way. And I think you'll notice, even in just in my basic description there, is that all of them are along I-81. So
yeah.
Just keep driving 81. That's the length of the mountains, and that's where the hikes are.
Yeah, and you've got a nice map in the front of the book with all of the hikes numbered so people can get an idea uh-huh. of where they are. But I also think it was really creative that you divided them up into categories like best hikes for sunrises and sunsets
yeah.
and
uh-huh.
Hikes with rock scrambles and hikes that are kid-friendly or dog-friendly. My favorite one was hikes where you're more likely to experience solitude. I was like, yep, those are going to be my hikes.
Yes. I mean, definitely, like, some people, they just want to go out and just be with themselves and just be alone and not see another hiker every 2 to 3 minutes, you know? So
yes.
I can definitely respect that. I like to hike on my own often. So it is nice to let other people know where there's some great hikes where you can just be with your thoughts, you know?
Absolutely. And you've also got water features, 360-degree views, and shelters and cabins. So really, you can fulfill whatever you're in the mood for that day.
That's right. Exactly.
The official Virginia Outdoor Adventures merch store is here. Give your friends, family, and yourself the gift of the outdoors while supporting the podcast. Every item was thoughtfully selected to create quality products using eco-friendly materials. Get ready for your next adventure with long sleeve, slim fit, and eco-friendly tees, plus hoodies, beanies, insulated water bottles, and insulated mugs. Shop now by clicking on Shop the Official Merch Store in the show notes of your podcast listening app.
It was really hard for us to choose the hikes that we were going to highlight today because there's just so many great ones. I mean, you and I spent quite a bit of time on the phone.
I know.
Well, what about this one? What about this
exactly.
one? But what we did was we picked a handful from the Shenandoah Valley, one from Virginia Mountains, and a couple from Southwest Virginia. And we also tried to make sure we had a good mix of challenging hikes and easy hikes and moderate hikes.
Uh-huh.
And then also we tried to pick some hikes that would be familiar to people, but then also hikes that maybe nobody's ever heard of.
Uh-huh.
So let's jump into it. You ready to do this, Erin?
Yes, I can't wait.
Okay, so the first one we picked was Bear Fence, and that's in Shenandoah Valley. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, that's a great hike. It's in the Central District of Shenandoah National Park, which is kind of the most trafficked, most popular section of the park. And this is a great hike because it's really short. It's less than a mile. A mile complete, you know, up and back to your car. It's less than a mile. And you get up there and there's a little bit of a rock scramble toward the top. So I consider it to be kind of more of a moderate hike, even though it is less than a mile. But you get there and you're just like, oh my God, you get this 360-degree view and you can't believe, you know, it only took you 15 minutes to get to the top and just to be able to be up there and just looking around in all directions. It's great. And, you know, it's fun for kids as well, because you do have that rock scramble element on the way to the top. It's not simply, you know, just a grassy or a dirt trail. There's something for them to engage with, and engaging, you know, hands and feet and arms and elbows to be able to kind of climb up onto the top of the mountain. And it's really cool. It's a really nice hike.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun and it offers different features for being a short hike.
Yeah.
Ironically, one of my listeners just asked me about this hike a couple of days ago. And one of the first things I said to him was, be prepared for the parking lot to be full because this is such a popular hike right on Skyline Drive. And the parking area is not that big. So
Yeah.
you better be ready. You're not going to be the only person up there. And actually, going back to proper footwear, another person told me that they had just done this hike last week and came across an entire family that was trying to do the rock scramble in flip-flops.
No.
Yeah, I know, right? I mean, like,
Imagine.
I know, palm to forehead. What else can you do except shake your head? I don't know how people get up a rock scramble in flip-flops, but all I can think is that's an accident waiting to
Oh my
happen.
God. Yeah, that just kind of makes me nervous. So, I mean,
Yeah.
again, it's not a hard rock scramble, but I definitely would not want to do it in flip-flops or any kind of footwear that is not like really strapped onto my foot, you know?
Yes. And actually, the last time I was up there, I saw somebody with a big dog that had gotten to the base of the rock scramble and then looked up and realized that maybe this wasn't the best thing for their particular dog and then ended up having to turn around and go back. Now, I don't have a dog, so I can't say if this is good or bad for dogs, but if you have to climb with your hands and your feet and your knees and your whole body, then your
Right.
dog might struggle too.
Yeah, I mean, I do say, you know, this particular hike is dogs are allowed, but on my website, I identify whether each hike is dog friendly or not, and I always say that it's not. Or, you know, even though you can legally bring your dog on this hike, because there's definitely some hikes in Shenandoah, as you know, that where dogs are prohibited. This is not one of them, but it's just not a good idea. No way.
Yeah, I think I would agree. The other advice that I gave my listener who asked me about this hike was if you hike along the Appalachian Trail, which is part of this loop that you have in your book, there are some beautiful overlooks and rocky outcrops right along the trail that are kind of hidden by some of the brush. But if you know they're there and you just keep an eye out for them, you can get stunning views without all of the crowds that you get at the top of the rock scramble.
That's so true. I totally agree. And even kind of very close to the top of Bear Fence Mountain, you know, there's a nice 270 degree view that doesn't require that much work at all. And it's, you know, it's almost the same as from the very top of the mountain. And I think it's also off the Appalachian Trail as well. And you're exactly right. There's always so many kind of secret views that kind of pop out at you.
Okay, shall we move on to the next one?
Sure.
All right. So the next one we have is Humpback Rocks, which is also in the Shenandoah Valley off the Blue Ridge Parkway.
Yeah, this is a great hike, and this is another one where the parking lot fills up early, like really early. So, and it's a big lot too. You know, there's probably at least 25 spaces, and if you go up early and you get a spot, by the time you get down, every single spot will be filled, and then every single spot that people can make into a spot will also be filled. You
Yeah.
know, so it's pretty crazy. But it's a nice hike too because it's also really short. It's less than 2 miles if you just do it as an out and back hike. And it really just has, you know, amazing views across the Shenandoah Valley. You could see down to Shenandoah National Park from the top. And it's just really popular. A lot of people from Charlottesville come over there and do that hike. And it's really nice. But when I did it, so a lot of people do it as an out and back, but I chose to do it as a longer, I think almost 4 mile hike, and it's a loop, and you get steps on the Appalachian Trail, and it's very quiet because no one does it like that. Everybody just wants that quick satisfaction. You know, they want to get to the top of Humpback Rocks, enjoy those views, take the pictures, hang out for a while, and then hike right back down. But especially in fall, doing it as a loop, so basically you go to the top of Humpback Rocks, and then you kind of enjoy the views, walk past it, and then make a left onto the Appalachian Trail, and you just follow that all the way down. It's really, really enjoyable. Really, it's quiet. Again, you're going to see very few people, and it's just a really nice way to finish the hike.
Yeah, I'm looking at the map in the book right now. You've got it as a 4.3 mile loop
Okay,
hike, and
yeah.
that's a decent size. I mean, like, I think that is a good, between 4 and 5 is a good half day hike, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's nice.
Yeah, and going straight up to Humpback Rocks, like the out and back that you mentioned,
Yeah.
there are some really steep
It's very
sections.
steep. Yeah. So you'll see, you know, several benches on the way up because it is pretty steep.
Yeah, I
But
mean,
you
there's
keep
it's
getting up
almost
there.
like you're it's it almost feels like scrambling in some areas just because it's steep. But not only is it steep, it's really worn down. Like that trail is probably one of the most worn trails that I've seen. And it's so slick, like especially if it's just rained or it's, you
Oh,
know, been
yeah.
moist or whatever, because the trail is just so beat down from all the foot traffic. Like there's nothing to give you any sort of grip. So, you know, just
That's a
know
good
that
point.
before you go up there, right? Like if you're gonna go all the way up to the top, there is gonna be some steep areas and the proper footwear is all that much more important in that situation.
I mean, I will say though, too, to your point, you know, if it is slick or has rained, that's not a hike I would typically do because once you get to the rock part, the humpback rocks part, that's, you know, if you think it's slippery on the way up, it's going to be really slippery on the
Oh
mountains,
yeah. Oh
or sorry, on
yeah.
the rocks.
Yeah, it definitely is slippery up there, but usually the rocks dry out faster than the trail
That's a good point.
because they're exposed to the sun. But the views up there are absolutely gorgeous. And yes, it is slick up there. So not an easy. I mean, like, you know, don't be fooled because the out and back is short. There's definitely some work you got to put into
Yeah,
it.
and I think a lot of people do get fooled because I do like clearly remember doing that hike a couple years ago, and you know people are kind of deceived because it's less than 2 miles out and back. They think, oh, this will be easy, but
Yeah.
it's very steep. So.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on to another hike that I think is an absolute gem because it's so unique. And that's High Knob in the Shenandoah Valley. It's not too far from Harrisonburg.
Yeah, I just did this hike last year, and it's less than half an hour west of Harrisonburg, and it is definitely a gem. It's primarily known, I think, among JMU students because of its proximity to James Madison University, but it's a really nice hike. You know, it's less than 4 miles, it's not steep, and you get up to this really nice fire tower. It's not a tall fire tower, but it's just in this position where you just get these amazing views walking all the way around the fire tower. And there's also, I think, like a fire ring, and there's some spots where you can camp at the top as well. But it's really, really nice. And I think the last time I was there were some students who were kind of just sitting at the top, kind of they had brought their schoolwork. And so they were just sitting at the top of the tower, just working and just enjoying the views, just enjoying a nice change of scenery before heading back to the university.
Yeah. The first time that I did this hike was with Lynn Cameron, who's the co-chair of Friends of Shenandoah Mountain, which is the area, it's the area where this hike is located. And actually, she was a guest on the show very early on in episode 13. And she was telling me while we did this hike together that fire towers were pretty common back in the day. And this particular fire tower, though, the architecture of it is unique because it's built of stone and it's glass on the top. It's got these gorgeous, like, I think they're hand carved, like wooden railings around like a deck that goes the entire way around. And so, when all of the other fire towers got knocked down after they were no longer in use, some people basically voiced their opinion saying, we don't think this one should be knocked down. This one's pretty unique. And so, it ended up being saved. And I believed that now it's a National Historic Lookout. Is that the
Yeah,
right
I
term
think
for
it. I
it?
don't know the right term, but you're right. It is kind of preserved that way.
Yeah, it's really beautiful, and the views from up there. I mean, it's very close to the border of West Virginia, so you can see far into West Virginia, and then also the other direction towards the Shenandoah Valley. It's amazing. I just think it's absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah, I think the parking lot is technically in West Virginia because you pass the sign dividing the two counties, but then kind of once you exit the parking lot onto the trail, I think you're back in Virginia again.
Yeah, that's right, actually, now that I think about it, because you're driving through George Washington National Forest, and then I think you do cross the state line. The mountains and valleys are yours to explore in Patrick County. From the rugged outdoors to five-star luxury, there is so much to discover. During each of my visits to Patrick County, I've hiked my way through the Blue Ridge Mountains to take in the spectacular views of mountain vistas, gorges, wetlands, and waterfalls. The unspoiled beauty of these trails offers birders and wildlife watchers like me an unforgettable journey.
Some of my favorite hikes include the spectacular Rock Castle Gorge Recreational Trail. This 11-mile, moderately trafficked loop may be a challenge to complete, but is well worth the effort. The trail goes through meadows, over fences, across creeks, and beside abandoned mountain ruins. Lower Rock Castle Creek offers fishing opportunities as well as primitive camping and picnicking. Pinnacles of Dan is a 6-mile hike that is only recommended for very experienced adventurers who are skilled at navigation and don't mind some scrambling. You will be rewarded at the top with breathtaking views of the pinnacles and surrounding mountains. You know me and my love for our state parks. So naturally, my favorite trails in Patrick County are at Fairystone State Park. Fairystone features 11 different trails for hiking, mountain biking, and horseback riding that range from easy to difficult, all with great views and opportunities to see wildlife. Don't miss the waterfall on the Little Mountain Falls Trail or the chance to hunt for legendary fairy stones. I choose to stay in the newly renovated cabins inside the park. Patrick County also offers charming B&Bs, luxury suites, cozy cabins, or rustic campsites to rest your head. Disappear into the wild of the Blue Ridge Mountains, where adventure is behind every curve of the trail. Click on Visit Patrick County in the show notes of your listening app to find yourself here in Patrick County. Aaron, the next hike is Three Ridges, which is also in the Shenandoah Valley. And this is one of those hikes that's been on my bucket list forever because I really want to backpack it. And it looks like an incredible hike and people rave about it all the time. So what makes this one so unique?
Yeah, this is a great hike. I actually did it as a backpacking trip. I did it maybe not last summer, but I think the summer before. And it's about 15 miles and it's mostly on the Appalachian Trail. And kind of to your point earlier, there are a lot of kind of, you know, lookout points that kind of surprise you along the way where you can stop and enjoy the views. So even within like the first quarter mile, you're hiking up the Appalachian Trail and there's this little spur trail that goes off to give you these really nice west facing views. So it's a really nice hike. When I did it, I'm trying to think now, I think the first day is maybe 9 or so miles and you end up kind of in the valley and you're at one of the hiker shelters. And it's a great place to stop. It's right along the water and you've got not just a hiker shelter, but you've got just, it feels like dozens of little hiking campsites because it's just such a popular area. So it's beautiful. And so lots of great views when you're going up. And somehow the second day we continued to go up. I'm trying to think if there was a down. It felt like it was a lot of climbing on that hike. So you kind of take the Appalachian Trail and that connects with the Mahar Trail. And that's a lot of walking alongside water features like waterfalls. And so it's definitely a really nice hike. And I also would recommend it, like I said, as a backpacking trip. I think a lot of people do it that way. I think you'll really enjoy it.
Yeah, 15 miles is a lot for the average person, I think, especially someone who just wants to go out and do a day hike and isn't interested in getting up at 4 a.m. and, you know, trying to race the sun to get back before dark.
Right. But to be honest, I think like the primary view is within the first 4 miles of the hike. So you could just hike up to that and back, and that's just 8 miles.
Oh, okay. And I think people enjoy doing, like you said, there's shelters up there. So I think that's what makes this ideal for an overnight.
Yeah. No, it's kind of cool. I always love to see shelters and I love it more, you know, when you see through hikers there or any other people out camping in the shelters. And there's 2 shelters along this hike. So that was kind of fun for me too.
Yeah. And this hike is no joke. You have the difficulty listed as strenuous, but it's close to 4,000 feet of elevation. That's a lot for Virginia. I mean, our tallest summits aren't that much taller than that. So
yeah, exactly. I think 4,000, you're right. I think that's probably the most I've done, I guess now. The Priest is around 3,000. So I think those are the two of kind of the highest elevation hikes in the state. So, because you're right. I mean, even, you know, Mount Rogers is probably around, Is it quite 6? I'm not sure.
I think it's close. Yeah, I think it is 6, but it's a little
over. Just hiking up to that, I don't think your elevation gain is much more than 1,000.
Right, because just because a mountain is really tall doesn't mean you're starting at the very bottom.
Yes, you're exactly right. Exactly.
Yeah. Now this one though is really difficult, but whenever I visit James River State Park, there's an overlook there with a sign that shows you what's in the distance and you can see three ridges from there.
Nice.
Yeah. And
okay. And
the sign has like an arrow pointing to the priest and all of the other summits. And I always stand there and look at it and I'm like, one of these days, next time I come back, I'm going to backpack that. And I just haven't gotten to it yet because so busy adventuring everywhere else. I don't get to do everything.
I know. Oh, exactly. So many things we want to do.
Yes. Okay. So let's move on to a hike from the Virginia Mountains section. You've got Bald Knob listed in here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is a really cool hike. I actually didn't even know it was there until I was there. So I was down in Pembroke, Virginia, which is Southwest Virginia. And I was there to hike Cascades Falls for my first book about hiking with kids. And I was staying in Mountain Lake Lodge, which, as you or maybe your listeners don't know yet, this is the lodge from Dirty Dancing. Mm-hmm. And so I was excited to stay there because, of course, you know, I was a teenager in the 80s and I loved Dirty Dancing. And of course, I had to stay there if I was right in that area. So I was staying there and then I just sort of saw this hiking trail that was right next to the lodge. And it's a very short hike. I think it's probably less than 2 miles round trip. And it's steep though, but it leads up to this amazing rocky outcrop that has just an incredible sunset. I just felt like it was such a gem. I mean, it's very close to Virginia Tech. So there were other kind of Blacksburg students who were up there and knew about this particular hike. But I just felt like it's one that not a lot of people know about. And it was really incredible. I really enjoyed it. The views were amazing. And again, you don't need to put that much effort into doing it. And especially if you're already there, either to stay at Mountain Lake Lodge or you're in the area doing Cascades Falls. I mean, I would highly recommend this hike.
Yeah, I would agree with you. The first time I was up in that area, I haven't done this particular hike, but I've been to Mountain Lake Lodge. And that in and of itself is an experience. I think I told you in another conversation that my husband and I had Thanksgiving dinner there once because I think we were in the area for a football game at Tech. And we were like, well, where are we going to go? And found out that the lodge was hosting dinner. So we went up there. And even if you're not staying, like it's nice just to walk around the property. And they have like a little building in the back near where the now dry lake used to be.
Oh, yes.
It's
yes.
like a museum to the Dirty Dancing movie. So yes. It's worth the trip just to like experience the area and then also do the hike.
Oh yeah. Now it's very cool. And there's, if you kind of drive past Mountain Lake Lodge, there's a road that kind of drives you past the lake, past the lodge, and you keep going and you'll get to the AT. And there's another short hike out there called Wind Rock, and it's very short, but that also goes out to a really nice view. So you can kind of do that hike as well while you're out there.
All right, let's keep it moving. So I think we need to pick a couple hikes from Southwest Virginia, and one that we agreed on is Molly's Knob.
Yeah, this is one of my favorite hikes. It's actually the hike, I'm looking at it now. It's on the back cover of my book, Virginia Summits. And it's one of my favorite hikes. It leads to this viewpoint where you have these two benches and you've got these amazing views of the mountains. And you really just want to sit there for a long time, you know, and just savor the views and just look out at the mountains. And I loved it. I will say kind of, it's kind of a more challenging hike because you go on the Molly's Knob Trail. And that's, you know, kind of steep. And then you get to the Molly's Vista Trail, which is, I think, the last 0.7 miles to the overlook. And you have to earn it.
Oh, yeah.
I will tell you that much. You have to earn that view because that last little bit, it is less than a mile, but it's a toughie. But it was worth it. There's definitely places to stop. There's little benches along the way up. So, you know, stop, have some water, refuel, then keep going. But It's definitely worth it once you get up there. It's really nice.
I once did this hike in winter and I was just shedding all the layers the whole way up.
Oh yeah. Oh, I'm sure you were. Oh my
it
God.
Was, yeah. It had just snowed. It was so cold when I first started out. Mm-hmm. And by the time I got to the top, I think I was down to my base layer, but then you get up there and the wind is whipping around. And then I was really quickly trying to get all those clothes back on.
Oh my gosh. Yes. But I'm sure it sounds like you found it was worth it as well, just to get up there. You know, any season up there, it's just beautiful.
Yeah. And in fact, I have two photos. I've done this hike during different times of the year. And I have one photo that I took in September when everything is still really green. And then I have another photo from that day that I hiked in winter after a fresh snowfall. And I love putting those two photos next to each other and showing people the difference, because the landscape here is so unique. Like the mountains almost look like a blanket, like with the ridges, like somebody just crumpled up a blanket and laid it down in front of you. And you don't really see it as well when it's covered in foliage, when it's all green and everything has leaves on it, but you really see it in the winter when all of the leaves are gone. And especially after that snowfall, it's like that blanket of snow just made it even more obvious what the landscape really looked like underneath all that foliage. And I just think that's one of the benefits to hiking in winter too, is you get to see those things that you wouldn't experience if you're only hiking in the warmer seasons or the shoulder seasons.
Oh yeah. I mean, one of the other things I love about hiking in winter is just that there's so many fair weather hikers who are back at home, you know, watching Netflix. I don't know. And it's just nice just to be out there. And there's just something different about hiking in winter. I think you'll agree. It's just quiet and it's crisp and I feel like you're more dialed into like the sounds of wildlife because you're not hearing the leaves rustling. Yeah. It's just a very different experience.
Yeah, it's quiet in the winter. Yes, and so when you do hear something, it catches your attention. Yeah, I would agree.
So I highly recommend, you know, as much as I enjoy having the trails to myself, I would really love to see kind of more people out there experiencing a hike in winter. You know, it doesn't have to be a long hike. Just go on a couple miles and just really just dial into just the sounds of nature in winter.
Yeah. Did we already say that Molly's Knob is located in Hungry Mother State Park?
I don't think so, but that is true.
might be an important point
exactly
to bring up.
So yeah, Hungry Mother State Park in Marion. It's down, it's just off 81. So it's really easy to get to, which is nice as well. And it's a great place to go in summer. They've got that beautiful, Hungry Mother Lake. Mm-hmm. They've got that nice swimming beach there. They've got a lot of CCC cabins down there. It's just a really beautiful park, really beautiful.
Yeah, it is. In fact, Hungry Mother is the very first Virginia State Park that opened in the 1930s under the New Deal.
Nice.
So it's historic in addition to being really beautiful.
Nice. I knew it was one of the first six. I didn't realize it was the first.
Yeah, the very first one. And there's some really interesting history there too. So I would highly recommend that and in the cabins that were built by the Civilian Conservation Corps. Mm-hmm.
Thinking about hiking to Molly's Knob, the most scenic vista in Southwest Virginia? Then get ready for Virginia's highest peaks, wildest adventures, and friendliest small towns in Smith County. When I think about Smith County, I think about some of the most iconic hiking locations, such as Mount Rogers, the highest peak in Virginia. With over 500 miles of trails in the Mount Rogers National Recreation Area, I've found new places to explore during every visit. You've heard my guests in previous episodes say that the 60-plus miles of the Appalachian Trail that pass through this area are consistently reviewed as a favorite section along the AT and should be on every hiker's must-do list. I can't put my camera down when I hike this trail. The open balds and high elevation vistas in every direction are breathtaking. For the less traveled trail hikes in Smith County, check out the Iron Mountain Trail from Skulls Gap Overlook. This trail was once a portion of the Appalachian Trail before it was rerouted to the south, also known as Virginia's Lost Appalachian Trail. Smith County makes a great base camp for all your outdoor adventures. I prefer to camp or stay in a historic cabin at Hungry Mother State Park in Marion, where I'm just down the road from my favorite restaurant in the area, Wooden Pickle Food and Spirits, and other local restaurants serving farm-to-fork fare. There's no better way to end a day of adventure than with a craft beer at 3650 Brewing. I never leave town without stopping by one of my favorite family-owned outfitters, Marion Outdoors, where I can find gear for all my adventures. Ready to experience Virginia's highest peaks, wildest adventures, and friendliest small towns? Click Visit Smith County in your show notes to plan your trip.
All right. The last one that we're going to talk about is one that I was also a little unfamiliar with until I looked more closely at it. Chestnut Knob.
Yeah, so Chestnut Knob is, it's a shelter. It's very unique because most shelters on the Appalachian Trail are kind of those three-walled wooden shelters. They all kind of look the same, but this one is really different because it's got four walls. I believe it's made out of stone. It's got a door. So it still makes me laugh talking to you, Jessica, that first time we talked about this, and you just said, "Well, how'd you get in?" And I just said, "I opened the door."
Yeah, you did.
You were so, I think, taken aback to see a shelter that did not look like all the other ones that had a door and that had four walls. And
Right. If you do come across that, they're usually locked because somebody
yes,
maintains them and they get rented. So I
you're
was
exactly
surprised.
right. Yes, exactly. So, and I think, and I could be wrong, but I think it was it's like a forest warden at it was his house at one point in time. And that's why it's kind of more house-like. And you go and you can open the door and go inside, and there's several bunks in there, just wooden bunks, and there's a table that AT hikers or any hikers can use and can spend the night there. So it's really nice. And just adjacent to the Chestnut Knob shelter is just this amazing view across Berks Garden, which is not an area that a lot of people go to. It's this very quiet, rural, remote part of Virginia. It's very near Tazewell, which is it's a town also not off 81. So Berks Garden and Tazewell are very close to each other, but they're not off 81, which again means that not a lot of people venture out to this area. So it's just really this small community, and it's called Berks Garden, but a lot of times it's also called God's Thumbprints because it from above. It kind of looks like a big thumbprint because it's this bowl-shaped area that's kind of encircled by Garden Mountain. So it's really interesting, and it's just this quiet area. And there's a lot of Amish live in this area, and there's a nice little general store that sells fresh baked goods and delicious sandwiches. And it's you can rent bikes there, and you can bike along these little country roads, but out there in Berks Garden as well is this trail to Chestnut Knob. And I think it's less than 3 miles out and back. It's just a really nice, quiet hike up to the shelter. And if you would do this as a sunrise hike, I would highly recommend it because I got there probably around maybe like 10 a.m. And so it wasn't the best time, for photography because I was basically looking at the sun, trying to take a picture of Berks Garden down below. But when I was there in the shelter, there were a couple of hikers there who were there for sunrise, and they said it was just amazing. So, if it weren't for the fact that it would probably take me about 7+ hours to drive there from my home, I would go back sooner than later to see that sunrise.
From the map in your book, it kind of looks like this is really close to Hungry Mother State Park.
It probably looks that way, but I think
It's
because
not,
I'm,
huh?
but I think it probably is, but you do need to take a lot of back roads to get there.
Yeah, and that makes all the difference because it looks something might look like it's right next to something else on the map, but when you're talking
Yes.
about the mountains, there may or may not be a direct road there, and then you don't know what the condition of that road might be. So, don't assume that because something looks close on a map that it actually is gonna that it won't take you a long time to
That's
get
exactly
there.
right. That's exactly
Yeah.
right.
So this was something that I had never heard of, but you've got these interesting photos that you took of the outside of the stone shelter with the door, but also you've got a picture of the inside with the bunks, and it looks like somebody very artistic drew some mountains on there, which I'm gonna say it looks cool, but like please don't write on shelters because
Yes.
I'm pretty sure that they are federal property and that you could go to jail for defacing them. So I have to make sure I throw that little footnote in there. But this does look really neat. And the pictures of the view from there look really amazing too. So I'm definitely adding this to my list of things. And it's like if I look at the map, it's like a straight shot on the AT from the parking area up to the shelter. I mean, I think you have it listed as like 2.8 miles.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, it's all AT. I will say though, if you go there, you need to have, and I include that in my notes in the book, is that you need to have a four-wheel drive vehicle. There's definitely some of these gravel roads that lead to hiking trailheads are not well maintained. And every time I see that sign that says end state maintenance, I know I'm in for trouble
Yeah.
because because that means the road is not going to be good. And I do not drive a four-wheel drive vehicle. And I would say this particular road, though not long, it's less than a half mile from kind of the end state maintenance sign to where you park for this hike. But it was quite harrowing, and I was not super thrilled to be driving, in my non-four-wheel drive car.
Erin, this book, gosh, I think I could sit here and talk about all the hikes in your book like all day. And I'm so glad that you're my friend because when I
Oh,
see you, we can talk about all these hikes.
exactly. I know. I can't wait for you to do more of these hikes or food. We should go do them together. Except, we both live in Northern Virginia, so most of these hikes are very far.
Erin, these are wonderful. I don't want to be, I don't want to spoil it for everybody and keep going on and reading all the rest of the hikes. So if anybody wants to see the rest of the hikes, they should get your book. So where can people find Virginia Summit's 40 Best Mountain Hikes from the Shenandoah Valley to Southwest Virginia?
I mean, it's available on Amazon, of course, and it's available in a variety of places online, but I would say more places are offering it in their gift shops. So, for example, Shenandoah National Park, I saw it the other day, actually last year. I saw it in the Big Mountains Visitor Center. So, it's becoming more widespread, especially in areas where there's hikes that are local that are included in the book. But if you're looking for the book today, I would buy it on Amazon.
And then, how can listeners connect with you?
So, if you want to reach me, you can just go to gohikevirginia.com. My email address is there. I've got a lot of different hikes there as well, a lot of different tips and advice for hiking. So that's definitely the best way.
Yeah, I'm just going to plug Go Hike Virginia one more time because before you wrote all these books, that was where I found information for hikes that I couldn't find information for anywhere else because you had done it. And there have been many times where I was like, okay, I'm searching, I'm Google searching for something, nothing's coming up. Where am I going to find this info? And then I go, oh, I know who would know. And it's always Erin. I just go to Go Hike Virginia and there it is. Like, I don't think I've ever not been able to find something on your site. So I would
That's
recommend that
funny.
as a resource to folks.
I have done a lot of hikes. I know there's still some I still need to do, but I feel like at this point I've done 99% of the hikes that people want to do in the state. So I feel like I'm always kind of on the hunt for, new hikes to go out there and explore. And I think that, I appreciate, thank you for finding my site and finding the hikes on my site. I would say something that was really important to me, and I think you noticed on my site too, is just taking pictures of, what I see along the way so that people can really visualize what they're going to see on a hike. Because I definitely have had readers write to me and say, I got to this point in the hike and I wasn't sure what to do, but then I saw this picture in the post, and I knew that I was on the right track, or I knew I needed to backtrack. So it is nice to know that people have appreciated it. And I feel like too, I'm looking for hikes online a lot as well. And a lot of times I have an idea for a hike I want to do, but then I can't find a lot of information, or I can't find a lot of pictures. And I think, especially in this day when people want to post stuff on Instagram or they want to share a photo on Facebook, like they want to know what the hike looks like before, they want to get in their car and drive 2 hours or drive an hour to get there.
Yeah, I would agree. Although I would say sometimes that's good and bad, right? Like you want to know what it's going to be, but at the same time, I think there's such a focus on going, like choosing hikes and going to places that are Instagram worthy as opposed to just connecting with nature.
Yeah, no,
And
that's a good point.
I would like to see people get back to that. And I love that you picked so many off the beaten path kind of hikes for this book that maybe aren't the Instagram worthy hikes that people are familiar with. Now they're all beautiful. There's no doubt about that. I mean, you can see from the pictures that you took in here, every single one of these summit hikes is beautiful. So I would encourage people to pick something new that they haven't heard of before.
I was going to say, you're right about the Instagram, about Instagram, and don't just pick a hike for posting on Instagram. But something I would also say about that is, I feel like if seeing the pictures helps someone kind of get out of their house and go do a hike, then I feel like it's worth it, even if it is just an Instagram-worthy hike. Does that make sense? Like
Yeah,
if that's
absolutely.
going to be the impetus to get them to go out and go do it, then, I'm okay if it ends up going on Instagram too.
Yeah, no, I think that's right. It's better than sitting at home watching
Yeah.
TV or, playing
Yeah.
on
I like to
Instagram.
think, and you too, like I think that both of us are out there to kind of help inspire people to go out on
Absolutely.
these new adventures or go out on these new hikes by our words or by our photos or by our podcast.
Yeah, that's why we get along so well, Aaron.
That's right.
Well, Aaron, thank you for once again being a guest on Virginia Outdoor Adventures. I love your book, Virginia Summits,
oh, thank
40
you.
Best Mountain Hikes from the Shenandoah Valley to Southwest Virginia. I hope everybody picks it up because it's such a wonderful resource, and I hope everybody gets out on the trail.
Thanks, me too. It was a lot of fun to write and a lot of fun to explore just different parts of Virginia. So I hope other people, you know, are able to have the chance to go, you know, see some of these summit views as well.
Excellent. All right, Erin, until next time, adventure on.
Thanks.
Links and resources from this episode are in the notes section of your listening app and on the website at virginiaoutdooradventures.com. If you enjoyed the show, please consider supporting me. The easiest and most impactful thing you can do is visit buymeacoffee.com/Jessica Bowser, where you can buy me a virtual coffee or sign up for a membership. Members receive access to the full list of show notes, Virginia Outdoor Adventures vinyl stickers, and a shout out on the show. You can also support me by subscribing to the show on your listening app. Help spread the word by sharing the show or your favorite episode with friends or on social media. Last but not least, leave a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts. I love hearing from my listeners. You can find me on Instagram and Facebook at Virginia Outdoor Adventures or on the website virginiaoutdooradventures.com. Thanks for listening. Until next time, adventure on.